Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Show,
your ultimate guide to everything real estate.
Whether you're a first-time buyer, a seasoned investor, or thinking about selling, we have the insights you need. Your host, Larry Shackman,
the real estate therapist and a top-producing broker, will break it down weekly.
We'll dive deep into market trends and speak with industry pros about everything from pricing and negotiation strategies and staging tips to financing options and home inspections.
This fast-paced, ever-evolving market doesn't have to be overwhelming. We are here to guide you through it. Today's show is brought to you by TrustedAgentUSA.com. Get your market value, explore your selling options, and choose your closing date. Go to TrustedAgentUSA.com and do real estate your way. You've got options. Licensed in Illinois. Number 475-145-795. Now, let's dive in. Here's Larry.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Real Estate Radio Show. We're happy to have you here. We have a great show today. We're going to start out with a couple of real estate stats, how November fared for the real estate market nationally, according to Realtor.com. And then we're going to bring on Dylan Kramer at Neighborhood Loans. He's going to talk a little bit about rates and a little bit about FHA programs and how that can benefit home buyers. And then we're going to bring our guest on, Corey Crickberg of the Goosehead Insurance Agency, the Crickberg Agency. And Corey's, we're going to talk about something that a lot of people don't find real exciting: insurance. You know, when real estate gets, when insurance gets exciting when you don't have it. And you have to have it when you purchase a home, along with title insurance and some other things. So we'll get into that with Corey. First, let's take a look at the November housing market, according to Realtor.com. And remember, this is national stats. So we want to keep in mind that real estate is all local. So some of the stats we're talking about here may be completely different from what's going on in your local market, but this kind of gives us a macro view of what's going on in the real estate market nationally. So nationally, November, we literally crawled through November. It was our slowest November in 5 years and our slowest month since January 2024. So again, all relative. You may be in a market that's super hot, but nationally, November was pretty slow. Now, the good news is that home prices are coming down a little bit. And again, this is all very relative because there are pockets and many pockets across the country where prices are still going up. And in most places, I have to say, prices are still going up, just not as fast. And one of the reasons for that is inventory. Inventory is still lagging and it's still, it's still pretty slim out there in terms of choices buyers have. However, that is also picking up a little bit in different markets. So again, it's all local. If you're sitting here in Naperville, Illinois, market's still moving pretty good, but it has slowed down. If you're in one of the hotter neighborhoods in Chicago, Bucktown or some other neighborhood like that, it may be really, really hot there. It depends where you are. It's all local. Nationally, inventory is up a little bit. Prices are down a little bit. And bottom line is, this was a slow November. Hey, that's how it goes. Remember, it's all local when it comes to real estate. Let's bring Dylan Kramer on. We're going to talk about rates. There he is, Dylan.
What's going on, Larry? How are you?
I'm doing good. We're going to talk about rates, and Dylan's also going to fill us in a little bit on FHA programs and, you know, anything he can bring us up to date on that with. So, yeah. Dylan, where are we at with rates right now?
You know what, rates, Larry, it's a combination of a segue. Rates are still in the low sevens, right, in the grand scheme of things for your average qualified borrower who's, got a decent credit score, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the thing I like about where rates are in the grand scheme of things, in spite of the fact that, hey, the sevens are higher and they're higher than they were when we got in front of the election. I was having a chat with our secondary markets guy yesterday, and he said, remember when Trump got elected the first time 8 years ago, the low policies were going to be inflation war, right? And he's like this very pro growth, no matter what the politics are, and he'd be willing to trade 5% inflation for 12% growth, right? Like, oh, you're money ahead in the long run. And so the thing is that this time, since the election's now just about 30 days old, we're finding ourselves in a situation where the market has not really increased rates appreciably. The fact is rates were 7.5 to 7 pretty much all the way into the summer. It looked like when Harris was going to win, we were going to get closer to 6.5. When that kind of faded out of the picture, we're right back where we were, but we've had no appreciable increase from there over the last 30 days, which I think is lending some stability to the market. I think you're right that, you know, we had a quiet November, quieter than we'd like, but I think that we're in a spot where people kind of know where things are going to be now. And we have seen over the course, really, in the last week, even into the Thanksgiving week, a little uptick in activity, and it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually think that once we get past the middle or latter part of January, I think the real estate market's going to pick up, because I think demand is going to be so pent up, and there's going to be a few more houses on the market too. So, right. You know, I think it's going to pick up. That's just my gut feeling, which, by the way, everybody is typically always wrong. So don't bet on that. But that's just how I feel. I feel like it's going to pick up probably after January. And, you know, houses are still moving here in Naperville.
Houses are
in Chicago Metro in general.
Absolutely. And the good thing for us as a market is I think that we've continued to see kind of nice appreciation, but nothing crazy. So we're also not at risk for any dramatic pullback, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So rates are in the low sevens.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And is that across the board, 15-year, 30-year?
No. I mean, a 15-year, you could probably get yourself into the high sixes, 6.8, 6.9, depending on credit, depending on down payment, that sort of thing. And then, you know, the other thing, and this is actually a good segue, Larry, that I like, is we've seemed to have reached a point in the market. I'm working with a buyer of an FHA property, FHA loan, and we ran the numbers both ways for them, and I kind of stumbled into an accidental thing. This is a borrower who's a marginally qualified, meaning we tried to get them a conventional loan. They're putting 5% down. They're self-employed. They're like, hey, I don't want to, I could avoid FHA if I'd like to, because the sellers are concerned the property might have some issues. And remember, the FHA loan allows people to buy the house with their next to last dollar rather than have a couple of months in the bank post-closing. Mm-hmm. So they just want to make sure that you don't walk into a bunch of repairs the day after closing, right? Furnace repairs, roof repairs, that sort of thing. So the property has a minimum inhabitable standard. And they were like, we'd love to skip that if we could. So we went and ran it, but we ran it and the loan came out at 7.5, 7.4. But it wasn't qualified, right? At the end of the day, it just wasn't working for this borrower's particular financials. So we took the same loan, converted it to an FHA loan, and ran it, and it works. But the thing that I like about it is that rate came up at 6.625. Now, the PMI was cheaper because at 5% down, because the PMI on a conventional loan is set by a combination of the credit score, and this guy's credit score is average, not poor, just average, and the size of the down payment, which was smaller. So that combination didn't work for a conventional loan. It's going to save the guy $150 a month on a $200,000 loan. So not a big loan,
awesome.
Not a big house, but real money. And so we're in a place in the market where the spread between FHA and conventional loans has made it worth looking at an FHA loan.
Yeah, I mean, buyers need to keep this in mind when out there looking. Now, what typically is the highest price point someone's going to purchase with an FHA loan at? Or is there?
It's
a,
it, There is, and you know, it's probably in the $450,000 to $500,000 area. But I would also argue, in terms of sizes that the FHA will allow, the other thing that's part of the area, and I think it's a great question for asking, is, look, people who have incomes that can afford $450,000 now, incomes in the $150,000 a year range, that you're pretty more qualified for a conventional. So oftentimes we don't explore the FHA loan as an option, and it may be worth it from a math standpoint.
Okay. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Hey, Dylan, if somebody wants to get in touch with Dylan Kramer at Neighborhood Loans out in Lisle, Illinois, and of course you work all over the country, right? You'll work with.
Absolutely. Yep. Licensed in 13 states, companies licensed in 46 or seven.
Yeah. Yeah, so because it's going to pick up here, people are going to want to get in touch with you. How do they get in touch with you?
You can reach out to me by phone or text at 630-708-7088.
Awesome. Dylan, thanks for checking in again. We'll see you next week. Have a great rest of the week here, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Larry. All right, have yourself a good weekend. Talk to you soon.
Okay, I'll see you, buddy.
All right.
All right, everybody, we are going to take a quick 30-second break. We're going to be back with Corey Crickberg, head of the Crickberg Agency at Goosehead Insurance. And like I said, insurance is never that exciting to talk about, right? My dad was in insurance for 30 years. So insurance is never really that exciting to talk about unless you don't have it and something happens. Then it gets real exciting. We'll be back in 30.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio, sponsored in part by TrustedAgentUSA.com, the ultimate real estate matchmaker, saving you thousands. Now back to Larry, the real estate therapist.
All right, we are back with Corey Crickberg. There he is. He is heads up the agency over at the Crickberg Agency at Goosehead Insurance. And Corey, welcome. We're glad to have you on.
No, thanks. Thanks for having me, Larry. Appreciate the time.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting. Like I mentioned there a little bit ago, my dad was in insurance for 30 years or thereabouts, maybe a little longer. And it's funny because when we first moved to Des Plaines, Illinois, back in, I don't know, like 1890 or something. I don't know. We moved in there like back in the mid 60s or something. And it's funny because I would say there were probably six or seven dads around there that worked for Metropolitan Life. And it was just like the whole neighborhood was chock full with insurance agents. So everyone was getting hit up, right?
Right.
But yeah, it was kind of funny. But yeah, my dad's been in insurance, was in insurance for a long time. And, you know, like I said in the beginning, Corey, insurance is never real exciting to talk about until you need it and you don't have it. Then it gets
100%
fast.
Yeah, no, 100% is absolutely true. So MetLife, I'm assuming the life insurance, stuff like that.
Yeah.
We do some life. My primary business is homes, like you're doing right now. Home insurance, mm-hmm. auto insurance. I can do life insurance. I can do anything a person can own. So pets, RVs, boats, whatever, right? But primarily my business is structured around working with new home buyers.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we'll get into that a lot today. Give everybody a little idea of, you know, how you got into in the insurance space, and specifically, why do you concentrate on homeowners insurance? I know that, you know, in your emails that you send me, I see in the signature, you can insure your pet in 5 minutes. You could, you know, so you're mm-hmm. you cover a lot of things, but one of the things you cover mainly is home insurance. But how'd you just get into the insurance industry? Where's your office located? All that kind of good stuff.
Right. So just to start out, my office is in Yorkville, Illinois. So I'm a little bit west of Naperville where you're at. I cover Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin. you know, and then like, you know, we need partnerships in Florida, California, whatever. I have partners out there too. As far as how I got into it, years ago, I worked for Morgan Stanley as a financial advisor. And then I did a couple of entrepreneurial gigs that involved a lot of traveling. And then I had, we had a daughter, needed to stay home with her. So travel a lot less and started doing insurance. I started out with life insurance, like you spoke about. I was at Liberty Mutual. And then I purchased my agency at Goosehead a couple years ago. And here we are.
Yeah. And you said you're in Northfield. Great, great.
Yorkville. Sorry.
Oh, Yorkville?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're not far from me.
No.
I know Yorkville well. There's some nice houses out there. I've sold a lot of places out in Yorkville. Thing about Yorkville, though, I don't know how it is now, but back in the day, it was just hard getting in and out of Yorkville because there was like one street to do it on.
Yeah, absolutely. So I hear you. My family's been in Plano since I was like 5 years old. So decades now, right? You know, I got some gray hair. So, sorry, getting some phone calls here. So I've been here decades, and Yorkville is like a lot of farmland, right? Now it's a lot of houses and big box stores, and it keeps getting bigger. I mean, they're 47 is getting bigger. So real estate around here is like blowing up. There's things moving in around here. So it's quite interesting.
Yeah, and your money can go a pretty long way in Yorkville. You can get a lot of house in Yorkville for a pretty, you know, fair amount of money.
That's why things keep moving west from the Chicago and whatnot, you know, so you can get more yard, more property, more everything.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, I've seen.
And it's interesting, getting back to insurance real quick too. Insurance is a lot of times is based on like the neighborhood too, right? So there's more space here. There's maybe your car gets dinged less, you know. All that kind of stuff matters.
So give us a little insight. What are the most common types of insurance policies home buyers need when they are purchasing a piece of property?
Yeah, a lot of it just depends on your situation, right? So the typical one is called an HO3 policy, homeowner's policy, right? It's kind of all encompassing. It covers the structure, covers your roof, it covers your property. Any kind of liability, somebody trips your property and hurts themselves, they in a lawsuit or something. The HO3 policy covers all that. It's like a package policy, right? That's like the most typical when you're buying a home. I'm also going to recommend, you know, it's probably cheaper if we bundle with the auto. You know, we have all kinds of different options. Another typical policy is called a HO6 policy. It's for a condo policy or a townhome. Typically, you have an HOA is going to ensure the structure. Like, you know, the roof and the exterior.
Stuff.
The condo policy covers from the drywall in. Okay. And that it's interesting because a condo policy takes a little bit more thought, right? We can insure that for very little. And it's all legal and the mortgage company's probably going to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Fire, if we cover for too little, it's not going to be enough, right? So might cost a little bit more than you want to pay, but you might want to think about the risk you want to take too. And I would say the third most common one is called a dwelling policy. That'd be called landlord policy. Like it's not your primary home or it'd be for a secondary home. So your dwelling policy, it covers the structure and stuff like that, but maybe it doesn't cover your personal property as much.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Let's go into a little bit about you mentioned briefly that it has a lot to do with the neighborhood you live in. So in Chicago, you know, there's all the different neighborhoods and all that. In the suburbs, you have Yorkville, Plano, Naperville, Plainfield. You know, it's more suburb driven as opposed to neighborhood driven, obviously. How does that change things and how does that affect the cost of insurance, just the neighborhood or suburb you live in?
I would say, well, let's put it this way. So I was in Chicago. I'm not going to say exactly where. And I'm in like, you know, about third or fourth story up. And I look outside and there was like half a parking spot available. I saw a car pull in, back up, push the car behind it out of the way and park in the spot, right?
Welcome to Chicago.
Exactly. So I said, look, that's why car insurance is more expensive here. Right there. You watch why, you know? So that's my quick example, right? We can all imagine scenarios like that where the insurance, you might call your insurance company and say, hey, like, you know, whatever, something just happened to my property, that's more common than, you know, not as good a neighborhood as another one, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, that's not the only thing. I mean, the insurance carrier is looking at credit score. They're looking at, you know, claims history. They're looking at how old the roof is. They're looking at all kinds of stuff, you know. I just had another customer. I'm still working with him. I'm doing his auto policies right now. His home, it's like, why is my home insurance so expensive? And I dug into it a little bit, and like a whole bunch of homes around him flooded, but his was fine.
Oh.
So he's like, I didn't make a claim. I said, I know you didn't. I mean, but facts.
Yeah.
And the insurance carrier looks at that and says, like, you know, what's going on? There's all these claims around you, even though you're a good, you know, you haven't made a claim. It's kind of risky, right?
Yeah.
So I, you know, people get upset, and I get it. It's not my fault. At the same time, from the insurance carrier's perspective, you know, it's a little bit more risk maybe.
Yeah. So it just brings that risk up a little bit. Even if your home has never had that problem, it's like when I lived in Boston years and years ago, my car insurance was insane because Boston is the, or was at that time, the car theft capital of the world. I mean, they had tons of cars were stolen in Boston every year. And so my car insurance was through the roof. So that kind of correlates with what you are saying about, you know, as far as car insurance goes, and probably to a lesser degree, home insurance, I would think.
Yeah.
Or is it to a lesser degree? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think it all just depends on, you know, neighborhood. Maybe there's theft or something. I don't know. It's all depends on stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, so, you bring up cars like Hyundai's and Kias were like you know, like 2014 or 15 that year. There was tons of theft. I had such a hard time finding carriers that would do it. There's a couple that would, but you know, it just takes some searching.
Yeah. Yeah. It's car insurance can get tricky. Now, the other thing I heard with insurance, and let us know if this is true or not, because I'm curious about this. I was told that, especially with car insurance, they're going to raise your rate once you've been with them for 10, 15 years because they know you're not going anywhere. So you're going to have an obligatory rate change just because, you know, people get comfortable with their insurer. You know, they don't want, I've been with State Farm for, and maybe we need to talk, I've been with State Farm for, probably 35 years. And, you know, it never even occurred to me to change or to even go price them out against others because they've always performed for me. I've never had any issues. I've never really, you know, noticed any huge uptick in my premiums until recently when insurance started going up. And somebody told me, you know, they're going to raise your rates obligatorily, just because they know you're not going anywhere. And if you start shopping them around, you will typically find that you'll be able to get a better rate if you've been with your insurance company for, you know, years and years.
Well, there's a couple things going on there. I would say the first one right now is that rates across the board, every carrier gone up some. But second, a lot of times there's a built-in like inflation. I don't know, rider, you know, the plan inflation,
okay, yeah,
3-4%, right?
Yeah.
So your rates creep up a little bit more than that inflation, the expected inflation, just as a matter of course. So it makes sense to shop every year or two just in case. The way that we combat that, or I combat that, is I have like, you know, 15, 20 different home carriers that can shop all that stuff, you know, shop around and see what makes sense.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of looking and seeing what's there. The other thing that's going on right now is just the price of materials has gone up. The price of labor has gone up. Everything's gone up. So it's a little bit of a shock to the system, but you need to make sure you have the right kind of coverage.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, with inflation and with, you know, inflation is kind of leveled off. We're at about 2.4%, I think, again, from 2.1, but you know, we're right between 2 and 2.5% annual inflation rate, which is not much higher than the Fed target rate of 2%. So that's a good thing, but prices are still too high at the store. car prices are insane. Mm-hmm. I went to look at new cars and I'm like, no, I think I'll keep my car.
Right. No, I hear you.
Yes,
inflation overall is leveled down. I would say take a look at specific materials, you know, just like the specific, you know, lumber, whatever. Things are more expensive than they used to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no question about it. Hopefully we get some deregulation with this new administration where it makes it easier for builders to start building, because we are at a serious deficit of homes to sell out there. And I mean, we could literally 3x our new home construction, and it would take us probably 5 years to catch up to where we should be right now. So it's, you know, we're at a disadvantage when it comes to that, which probably affects your business too when it comes to home insurance, I would guess.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. So I want to talk about something, because when people put, let's say your home is destroyed in a fire or a mm-hmm. flood, or you have serious damage that you probably aren't coming back from in this home. What's the difference between when you put that claim in, what's the difference between a cash value and replacement value? And I think if I'm not wrong, inflation's going to come in to play here too. So explain that to me.
Well, inflation kind of matters how much it costs to replace it. So replacement value is just that, right? So you have your home, replacement cost, build it, replace it exactly what it is right now. Okay. So my quick example, easy example is, let's say you have a five-year-old 70-inch TV. Okay. It costs a fair amount to buy it, right? But after 5 years, it's probably not worth much of anything at all anymore. There's been technology upgrades and so forth. You go on the street, you can't, you know, have a hard time selling it for $100. So if you have a replacement cost, you get a brand new 70-inch TV. Actual cash value, you get that $100, and this is what it's worth. It's almost fully depreciated.
Okay. Yeah.
It's the same thing with a roof. Your standard, you know, shingle gable roof has a life expectancy of somewhere around 20 years. If you have actual cash value on that roof, the insurance carriers say, look, it's fully depreciated. You know, it may be worth a couple dollars. I don't know. You just have to replace it with a new one. Sorry you had hail damage, but that's the way it is. If you have replacement cost, they'll put a brand new roof on there, minus the deductible, whatever the contract says, right? So that's the difference. Replacement cost gets you a like item new. Actual cash value gets you the depreciated value.
Okay. So obviously most consumers are going to be more interested in the replacement cost, right?
Well, if you have a mortgage, you have to have replacement cost.
Yeah.
Dylan's not going to take an actual cash value policy.
Right. Cause that would make, yeah.
It so, would, I mean, that way, I mean, if you have actual cash value on a home built in 1928, it's not going to pay
nothing. Right.
Right. Exactly. So a lender is going to require replacement cost value.
Yeah.
That being said, they might not require replacement cost on the roof. So I, you know, there's, you know, that's a kind of a differentiator. I can do replacement cost on the home, but not necessarily on wind and hail. So we can save some money if you do actual cash value in the roof. And some carriers are going to require actual cash value on a roof older than 10, 15 years.
Okay. Yeah, because I had some hail damage on my house. And I had somebody come knock on my door, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me this whole pitch. And I said, all right, you know, let's see what it is. And then when I got the quote back and I saw what they were going to, the materials they were going to be using and everything else, I said, Matt, cancel this, bro, because this is not going to last me long. And they're subpar materials. So mm-hmm. I went out and I did it on my own through the insurance company. And like I said, State Farm has always performed for me, which is why I've never looked to change.
Right.
I think that's how it is with most people. You get comfortable, you get in this comfort zone. They always perform. So what's the reason to change? Yeah, so I did actually go through State Farm because of hail damage. So I went through that whole process, and they did a pretty good job. I mean, I was happy with the outcome.
No, that's good. That's a couple of points about that story. First of all, one of the reasons that a lot of the carriers are pulling back on the replacement value for the roof is there was independent vendors going out there and like knocking on doors saying, hey, like, I'll get you a free roof.
Yeah.
It's not free.
Yeah.
You know, so that's come back and that's bit the carriers a little bit and they're pulling back from that replacement cost. Now that being said, if you have hail damage, it's gotta be repaired, right? So that's why the carrier did that, because they don't want to have bigger repairs later on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah. So that makes sense. You know, yeah. I mean, listen, insurance, look what's going on in Florida. I mean, we could talk about that for the next three shows when it comes to insurance, homeowners insurance, and what's going on in Florida. It's crazy.
Exactly. And it's shocking when somebody is moving from Illinois to Florida. Like, I'm paying how much for insurance? I said, that's the way it is. So I have a particular partner in Florida that she's been there forever and she does it. And I say, look, this is you go do it. Right. So if I have a real estate agent call me and say, hey, like, do you do Florida? I said, no, but I have a partner that does it. You know, she lives there. She's been doing it forever. So it's just a different animal. California, Texas, Florida, they're just different.
Oh, yeah. Same thing with real estate. We do the same thing, of course. You know, I have associates in pretty much every state across the country. So if I have somebody looking for a $1.5 million home in California, which is like a $500,000 home here or $700,000 home here, because everything in California, anything under 2.5 in California flies off the market, you know, right? But yeah, we do the same thing. Like, I'll refer somebody out to, but I brought up Florida because I actually had a client who was thinking about building a home in Florida, in a really nice part of Florida, luxury home. So we're talking 4.5 million, 5 million in that range. And, man, his insurance was great. I mean, he didn't really have to worry about it. He has the money for it. But even, you know, people with a lot of money, they're very money conscious. That's why they have a lot of money. And he's like, he could not believe how much insurance was going to cost him. He was like, this is insane.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I've heard of stories about people that own their home and they end up just like, let the insurance go because it's going to cost like as much to, like, you know, insure the home just to buy a new one. Yeah. So I've heard stories like that. And I don't know, I've heard other stories about people who had, like, you know, their home on the water. And like, I actually had a client, he was right before two hurricanes came through and his carrier sent him a letter saying, hey, like, we're leaving the state of Florida. So it was like, carriers have left Florida like crazy.
Oh yeah.
It's just not profitable. So the carrier said, hey, we're leaving. You need to find a new carrier. Then the hurricane came through, caused damage, and then he couldn't get anybody to insure it while it was being repaired. So the current carrier was going to pay for the repair, but since his current carrier was leaving the state, they weren't going to insure it after that month. It was just kind of a mess. So yeah, we figured it out. He actually I found a builder's risk policy for him, and he had to move out while it was being repaired. And then move back into his own home. It was nuts.
Oh, really? So there was that little thing there that he had to tweak. In other words, he couldn't live in the home while it was being repaired.
With this carrier, no. I mean, there's a lot of carriers have a builder's risk endorsement on there where you can live there, but it's really pretty superficial. This particular builder's risk policy was like more robust, and it was the only thing we could find to cover it. So he had to move out and move back in.
You know
he might have extended stay overnight and then like got his clothes there in the morning. I don't know, but
that's crazy. I think there's only one insurance carrier left in Florida. I may be wrong, but I thought that's what I heard.
There's several. There's a couple, and I believe Citizens are supported by the state. Don't quote me on that. I'm not a Florida agent, but yeah.
So what role does the insurance agent play in a buyer's purchase of a home? Let's drill that down a little bit for our listeners.
Right. So typically, I mean, you might speak better than this. Typically, the process is the client finds either the real estate agent or the loan officer first. They get pre-qualified. They go look for a home and so forth. They put a contract on it with you. And then the loan officer is going to let me know, hey, like, you know, we need insurance, because you have to have insurance on the home before they even set the closing date. Mm-hmm. Like the mortgage underwriter is going to say, hey, like, am I going to be covered? Is the loan going to be covered if there's a fire the first day this person closes on it? So we have to I have to communicate with the client about what the coverage is, about the cost, about what you want, the expected closing date, all that kind of stuff. So on day one, that house is covered under the buyer's name. Because at that closing table, it changes from the seller's name to the buyer's name. And it's like a legal contract between the carrier and the buyer that they can cover that property.
Okay. So that makes sense. What, if you could give real estate agents any advice at all to make this a smooth process, the transaction smooth in terms of, you know, incorporating real estate, the insurance and all that, what couple or one or two little gold nuggets can you give real estate agents that will help them make this a smoother transition for their buyers?
I think the first thing is just have a team of professionals, have some people you can rely on, you know, have your lawyer, have your loan officer, have, you know, your agent, me, and like, you know who they are, have some communication with them, know how they like to work. Personally, I love it when I'm working with professionals that will let me know about the property, let me know the client, you know, who they are. And I can do the pre-work ahead before I even talk to the client and say, hey, these are my options. Or this is like a couple of tidbits information I need more to find the options for you. Mm-hmm. And just make it easy. And I personally like being fully transparent. I want all my clients to know exactly how they're covered, how much they're paying, the different options, the options that they're not paying for, because I don't really I might not recommend a certain kind of coverage in a certain area because it's like you're overcovered. So why pay for it? So, but I want all my clients to know exactly what's going on.
Okay. So in other words, just get ahead of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and we're going to talk about that offline after the show. Because I'm actually looking for, you know, an insurance agent like yourself that I could hook up with and say, hey, and I've been doing this for 24 years. So just to give you a little insight, I don't think agents really think about, or a lot of agents really think about having a go-to insurance agent in their sphere of influence, if you will, as far as the professionals they're associated with. You know, and I think that's a great point. I think you need to.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I'd love to talk to you more some more. Like one of the things I can do for agents, just like, you know, shoot me an address, like let you know what kind of flood zone is and stuff like that, you know, or, you know, it's, I think it behooves an agent to like, just know or understand at least how old a roof is. I'm not saying you're going to buy a house or not buy a house because of the age of the roof, but at least you have an idea, like, you know, this might be a sticking point for the insurance. Because the insurance has to be, the deal doesn't close without the insurance. So yeah, it's just not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. It's funny you said, you know, just know a little bit about the roof. So I was a large REO broker from like 2008 to 2017. And, you know, so you walk into some of these foreclosures. I mean, there were foreclosures in Joliet. I would walk in by doing that to the door and it would fall open and I'd walk in and there'd be a hole in the sky, and we still sold the house because someone sold it, bought it, tore it down, built a new house, you know, someone.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
So it's funny though, because I saw a lot of roofs that were challenging to say the least.
And a lot of you look at from the ground, not the top, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a title agent as well. And my company, REO Property Consultants, So we do title for people mm-hmm. buying homes and selling homes, clearing title and all that. So we're going to take a 30-second break, but when we come back, I want to talk about how title insurance and home insurance complement each other and, you know, how they're, you know, juxtaposed or whatever. All right, we'll be right back with
Corey. All right, very good.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio, sponsored in part by TrustedAgentUSA.com, the ultimate real estate matchmaker, saving you thousands. Now back to Larry, the real estate therapist.
All right, everybody, we are back with Corey Crickberg, MBA, head of the Crickberg Agency at Goosehead Insurance in Yorkville. And hey, Corey, real quick, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach out?
You know, like a few years ago, I'd say my phone number, right? But the quickest way is just Google my name, because there's not too many Crickerbergs out there, and throw in Goosehead also, and we'll be good. But my phone number is 630-487-2585. So
okay,
here we go.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, easiest way to do it, just look me up on the internet. You'll see all my contact information there. How do you pronounce your last name again?
Crickerberg.
Crickerberg.
Right. So you pronounce all the letters. You don't add an L or N or ER or anything, and that's it.
Got it. Well, people have been mispronouncing my name for 300 years, so it doesn't matter. I mean, you know how that goes.
Absolutely.
Call me. I don't care what you call me. Just call me.
Exactly. Right. So quickly, my mother, she always has a story that she spelled my name wrong at birth, my first name, because everybody wants to, and I have to live with it. Right. Oh. I have 2 R's on the Corey. Okay. Everybody else has like 1 R.
I do know another Corey that spells their name with 2 R's.
EY?
EY.
Really? Okay.
Yes. I'm going to check that, but I think he spells it with an EY. I could be wrong. I'll check it. But I know it's C-O-R-R, either EY or Y.
Right. Okay. I'm curious.
So I'm a title agent and, mm-hmm. you know, people, you cannot sell your house without title insurance. It's not happening. Mm-hmm. And providing a free and clear title. How does that complement homeowners insurance, or does it?
You might want to correct me here. In my mind, it's just a matter of risk management, right? So mistakes happen all the time, right? So if the title is certified free and clear, and there's something that happened 50 years ago, that's where the title insurance comes into play, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like the home insurance too, right? We don't buy insurance planning on something to go wrong. We buy insurance for something we never thought of before. Mm-hmm. And okay, oh my goodness, what do I do now? Well, that's why you have the insurance. The insurance comes into play, you know? So that's really the main thing, risk management.
Okay. Are there mistakes that home buyers make or real estate agents make when helping home buyers shop for, and this is why I like to have professionals like you in my sphere, if you will, to just say, hey, give Corey a call. Okay. I like to stay in my wheelhouse, and which is real estate, title. But when it comes to mortgages, I like to send them to Dylan, talk to Dylan. He's going to show you all the different programs that are out there. You'll figure out what's best for you, or if this is even the right time for you to move forward. Or if it's insurance, I like to, you know, send them to somebody like you, Corey, where you could easily explain to them, you know, can I tell them a little bit about homeowners insurance? Of course, I own a home. I've sold homes for 24 years. But when rubber hits the road, I want to just be able to send them to Corey and say, hey, here's the deal. Talk to Corey. He's going to help you out. What are there any like mistakes homeowners make when they're shopping home for homeowners insurance?
I would say the biggest mistake is just settling for like, you know, one quote. You know, there's nothing wrong with your agents that only work for one carrier. That's fine. But you're probably gonna have to do some more shopping on your own. So if you're working like an independent broker like myself, I'm not beholden to any one company, any one carrier, right? So I've got all these different carriers. I'll shop a whole bunch at once. And if that doesn't work out, I have a whole bunch of other companies I can shop one at a time. So it might take some more time, but I can do that, take that leg, more time on my part. But I can do that legwork for you and your clients and just come back with a solution. Okay. So it's all, and I'm going to say it probably over and over again, it all comes back to shopping a whole bunch of carriers. Because you don't know which carrier prefers what demographic, the family of four versus a single person versus a home in Naperville or a home in Aurora. I don't know. I shop a whole bunch of them. I can just look at the coverages and the price and not worry about what they're looking for.
Yeah.
If I'm a, you've mentioned State Farm. If I'm a State Farm agent, I know that my prices are really good in this one town. So that's where I'm going to concentrate. Whereas the other town, I can't compete there.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. You know, like with title insurance, it's a card rate. So title insurance agencies, as far as the owner's policy goes,
mm-hmm.
there's very little difference in price from title agency to title agency. It's all that most of them are going to be within $100 or less of each other.
Right.
So there's not that much, to kind of dive deep on when it comes to price, but that's completely different than when it comes to homeowners insurance.
Correct. So if you look at it from like a risk standpoint, my humble opinion is there's only so much that can go wrong with the title, right?
Yeah.
It's probably easy to do like an actuarial table about what the problem's going to be. With home insurance, there's a lot of moving pieces. You know, the first risk is the property. Second risk is the client. Third risk is the climate. You know, you can just go on and on. There's different layers to add on to it. And that's what caught the insurance industry by surprise in the last few years. You had COVID and people stopped driving. Then they did start driving. Whatever your opinion is about the climate, you know, it's changes constantly. And that kind of get like, you know, that's caught up with some places. There are certain places in the country where you just can't get insurance right now. Because they've been hit by so many tornadoes or something. Who knows what?
Yeah. We talk about Oklahoma. Florida,
it's obvious because of the hurricanes, but there's other places too that you just don't expect. So
yeah.
There's always moving pieces with it with homeowners insurance. And the way I look at it is like a carrier might have too many properties in Aurora, so they might raise the prices in Aurora.
Okay.
But they might lower the prices in Plainfield because they don't have as many properties there. If you think about it, a tornado comes through Aurora, wipes out all your whole portfolio, you're out a lot of money. That company is in trouble.
Yeah.
So that's one of the ways they can move the prices. There's also state regulations and a whole bunch of stuff goes into it. But that's how I like to view it. So once again, like the way I combat that is I shop for you once a year, every couple of years. When you tell me we need to shop, I shop it. The first time you come to me, I shop a whole bunch of carriers and find the best one for you in this location. And we just go from there.
Yeah, that is a great point. There are so many different potential risk factors with Correct. Homeowners insurance as opposed to title insurance. Of course, more things can happen these days with title insurance than maybe 25 years ago because there's so much more fraud out there. And, you know, a lot of people, I had a guest on, George McCleary. And George really, he has a program like for $8 a month, his company will keep an eye on your title and make sure that nothing's happened that's going to put a cloud on the title or better yet, steal your house out from under you. It happens. And
really?
Yeah, it happens. And people need to be aware of that. But yeah, I could see where there's so many different opportunities for risk with homeowner insurance policies. Should first-time home buyers be more aware or you know, have, should they have more questions than, you know, someone buying a second home or anything like that?
I would say be as curious as you can. I try to teach my daughter, like, the most important language in the English language is why.
Yeah.
I guarantee I'm going to have some I don't know, but ask as many questions as you can think. I mean, I can write you a home policy like that, right? But if you want it done that quick, I'll do it. I'll do the best I can with a limited amount of information. But if I do it that fast, I haven't explained to you what you're paying for and what you're buying. You know, if I don't get a chance to explain, you just tell me you want the cheap policy and you know, nothing but whatever, just enough so the mortgage, the loan officer takes it. I guess I can do it. But if I don't get a chance to explain to you what water backup means, you know, the water comes up to your sump pump and you're mad at me because like the insurance carrier didn't pay for it. Well, you signed the contract. You know, I wrote up what you want me to write up and you sign it. It's a contract between you and the insurance carrier. That's kind of like, The more knowledge I get to bring you, the more comfortable you should be paying the money.
Yeah. Great point. And you know, it's always nervous for everybody when they're buying their first home. So like, and I think that's so important that like when I refer a first time home buyer to you, or any insurance agent or whatever, I just want to make sure that they're taken care of, because I'm not going to be able to get into the nitty gritty of the insurance product and the difference between this product and that product. Whereas Corey, you're going to be able to just, you know, drill it down from, and they're going to be able to make a choice based on your experience and knowledge of the products and the industry and all that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a big believer in like, you know, stick to your lane.
Exactly.
You know, become an expert in what you do. That's an example why I don't do commercial insurance. You know, I work for individual people.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole another side of insurance, commercial insurance. And I'm not comfortable pretending I'm an expert in it because I'm not.
Yeah. I appreciate that because I'm the same way. Now I'll sell, you know, 2 flats, 3 flats, 4 flats, things like that, multi-units. But I will not get into commercial real estate, office space and things like that, triple net this and all that. I mean, I've leased office space, right. So I have a little working knowledge of it. But, you know, if you want to rent out 100,000 square feet of office space, I'm going to refer you to somebody that deals specifically in, office space and I do residential, not
right. Exactly. I mean, I do up to 4 units, anything more than that. I mean, a person can own up to 4 units, you know, I mean, you can have an LLC in it too, whatever, but a four unit property is considered residential.
Yeah.
Personal.
Hey, it's been great having you here because like I said, you know, insurance is, it's not exciting.
Oh, I get it.
It's not. I mean, most people, the thing they're not talking about at the bar or with their whatever is insurance, unless they didn't have it and all hell broke loose. And, exactly. You know, so then they talk about it. So, I mean, it's so important to make sure you are well insured and you're working with an insurance agent like Corey that knows his stuff. And it's going to make sure you're going down the right path as far as your insurance needs go. So at the start of the show, we talked a little bit about market trends and what's going on. And, you know, it's all local with real estate. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be hot in one neighborhood and just flat dead in an adjacent neighborhood for whatever reason in the city.
No doubt.
Or same thing, suburb to suburb. How do market trends affect your business? So real, you know, when prices go way up, how does it affect your business? When they go way down, when inventory is low, how does all that affect your business and maybe the price of insurance?
You made a little forecast earlier about how you feel like, you know, the market's gonna start getting, real estate market's gonna start picking up. And I kind of feel like that about insurance right now too. In my mind, everything in business goes in like a sine wave, right? And right now, the carriers were competing. A few years ago, carriers were competing for market share, right? When you compete for market share, your margin starts to get squeezed because you want to charge less and gain more clients. In my opinion, that's what happened a little bit before COVID. COVID hit, people stopped driving and started driving. People stopped building and they started building. You know, people, you know, got all worried about buying and they start buying a lot and then they pull back. Everything's in flux and it's still like it's starting to level out. So I think the carriers, I believe, they're competing for market share. They started it and they were charging less, and then they got in trouble because they were not profitable. They were just flat out losing money for a couple of years there. They started charging more now, and they really started restricting taking on new business. Okay, I'm starting to see a few carriers. They're starting to like accept monoline homes, and there was a time, or still is, like a fair number of carriers that will only take home and auto. They refuse to take a home alone. They're starting to lessen that restriction. Will it take on a home by itself? The rates are starting to creep down a little bit, maybe, you know, or mm-hmm. not increase as fast, put it that way.
Okay.
I'm starting to see things loosen up some. So I believe that this is going to start to level out. Just like, you know, we're not going, the price of eggs and meat at the grocery store is not going to go back in 2019. It's not. Right. So I don't see insurance rates going down, but I do see them leveling out. So it's more predictable.
Well, that would be a good thing for a lot of people because they've shot up.
Yeah, and for sure.
I'm sure you've heard about it.
I've heard about it. I've lived it. My rates went up. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. You're a consumer like the rest of us.
Exactly. And that's the other thing to point out to as an independent agent. Like, I'm in the same place as all my clients. I get it. Right. Yeah. I'm on my client's side.
Yeah, makes sense. Hey, Corey, awesome having you here. One more time, how people are going to best get in touch with you? How? Doing what?
First thing is Google Goosehead, just like it sounds, Krickeberg, K-R-I-C-K-E-B as in boy, E-R-G, or call me 630-487-2585.
Great. Well, listen, it's been great talking to you. We're going to hook up again either sometime later this week or early next week. I'll give you a call.
Because awesome. Be
I want to make sure we have the best, alley to send people down to get in touch with you when I have a client. Also maybe talk a little bit about my insurance. Maybe Corey can save me some money. I don't know.
Awesome. That's the plan.
Take
That's
care plan. Of yourself. Have a great week. And I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Okay. I'll see you.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, everybody, that was Dylan Kramer to start us off. And then we brought on Corey Krickeberg, talk about insurance. Like I said, I know insurance isn't real exciting, but insurance is something you need, whether you have a car, a house, whatever. And it's not something you want to be without when you have a disaster or some other thing. I mean, that's when it gets exciting, when you don't have it. So last thing I want to say is if you're a listing agent, if you're a real estate agent in Illinois and you want to differentiate yourself and you want to bring hard value to the table for your clients, for your sellers, go to listingagentadvantage.com and just click on Get the Listing Agent Advantage. And of course, look over all the information there. You're going to save your sellers a boatload of money on lead closing attorneys, legal services, and title insurance. So don't forget to do that. Get the Listing Agent Advantage at listingagentadvantage.com. We are going to see you next Thursday with another great guest. You guys are going to love this show. And we will see you then. Have a great rest of your week and have a great weekend. We'll see you in about 7 days for another 1 hour of the Real Estate Radio Show. All right, you guys, see you later. Take care.
Thanks for joining us on Real Estate Radio with your host, Larry Shagman, the real estate therapist and top producing broker. Now go to TrustedAgentUSA.com and save thousands when you sell, buy, or invest. Illinois license number 475-145-795. Tune in next week for the ultimate real estate radio experience.